أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سنة بسنته يوم الدين، أما بعد. Welcome again, brothers and sisters, as we continue in our Friday night halakha. And as before Ramadan, we've been used to doing tafsir of Quran. But I had promised in this Ramadan that we were doing those 99 names of Allah in the last four nights, and we were not able to finish it. So inshallah, eventually now we'll be able to finish it in these couple of Fridays, today and next Friday, and because we had covered most of the names and some of them, few of them are left, so we'll cover them. In Ramadan we had stopped with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Haleem, and we had explained in detail already about it. Just a couple of points before we move on to the next name. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Fatir, Surah 35, verse 45, that regarding the issue of his helm, which we said it means forbearance, the ability of, and Allah is the one who is giver of helm, that whatever helm we have in ourselves today is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not from anywhere. And really forbearance means that someone pains you, irritates you, and yet you forgive them. Meaning you ignore the irritation, ignore the grievances, and still be in the same aspect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the forbearing and having the most forbearance, that there are people in this world who do all sorts of things, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. There are so many violations of the Quran being done by the Muslims themselves, but look, 1.6 billion Muslims living, and alhamdulillah they're still strong. Like one person was saying, we always complain, we have a negative attitude, we have a pessimistic attitude that, oh, we are 1.6 million strong and we can't do anything. We have a very whining kind of attitude. True, I mean, wherever you go, in any majlis, anywhere, Muslims always complaining, moaning and groaning. This person I talked to, that's why we say that when someone has a white hair or a white beard, you have to understand the hikmah. This person said to me, that in spite of all these grievances, in spite of all these weaknesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not wiped off the 1.6 billion Muslim strong community. If you look at resources, we have the natural resources. If you look at wealth, we have a lot of wealth. If you look at ilm, knowledge, where did this concept come from? Brain drain. It is us. Us. We began to drain our own countries because we, having the knowledge and end, did not find opportunities in our countries, hence we migrated. Whether we migrated to France, England, Germany, back in those days, and then to North America, and still today people are migrating to Australia and New Zealand. And now guess what? What's the hottest country now to migrate?
Dubai.
No. That's in the negative way. Because they are doing things that are not right. China. Thank you, brother. China is the turn of the century. The new millennium, you know what they call about it? It's been only 5 years in this new millennium. China's GDP is 9% for the last three quarters continuously. And the growth rate of the economy and the knowledge, not just growth of economy, growth of knowledge, growth of resources, because why? You have to look at the temperament. I know we're going slightly off topic here, but I just wanted to show you, highlight, why China? Because this is also from Hilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has promised that insan, Bani Adam, any human being, no matter how much they work hard, they will get their due reward. Very soon, Allah is about to open upon us to show the fruits and dividends of the Chinese people for the last 100 years that they've been working hard. And already, they are like called the silent dragon. They are the silent people. You don't hear much buzzwords about it. You don't see China interfering in every single thing. You don't see China always coming out with big slogans and things like that. Meaning they are like the silent dragon, which is going on with its work. And it's from the helm of Allah. Yes, there are people who don't believe in Allah. Chinese, most of them are communist or Buddhist or atheist. Don't believe. What is communist? Not believing in Allah. And look, this is the helm of Allah's water, that they don't believe in the existence, wujud of the Creator, the Khalik, Malik, Razik, yet Allah is giving them rizq 9% GDP, yet Allah is giving them the fruits of their ilm, knowledge coming up, yet Allah is giving them, Allah is Shakur, He's giving them the dividends of their hard work and effort. So Allah, the person was saying to him, if you look at these 1.6 billion Muslims, we always complain, moan and groan, but one thing we don't really seem to realize, which is like we take it for granted, that we have the wealth, we have the natural resources, we have the ilm, brain drain, terminology came from us, because our people from the 56 Muslim countries began to move out, go to other places in search of opportunity. If we just give opportunity in any one state of these 56 states, OIC, Organization of Islamic Countries, there'll be a mass exodus, hijra, migration. People, why do you think people came here? Opportunity. You pick up any XYZ country, Muslim country, it begins opportunity, like the brother said, Dubai. Dubai is just giving opportunity. That's it. Come and invest, do whatever you want. You give opportunity to people, you see the harakah. This shows you the natural instinct, the fitrah of human being, that when somebody gives opportunity, automatically people start diverting, moving. I know many families myself who have moved from here, from New Jersey, back to Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah area. Back in the days, they used to have difficulty for their teenager kids to study, because you could only go up to, they had whatever schools, Islamic schools, you could only study up to matric or 10th grade or 12th grade. After that, you had to move out. Or you had to send your kids to your home country and the parents are working and living there. But now they have begun to give you opportunities to study. So now families can be intact. They don't have to separate. They don't have to disintegrate, because they're getting the brains. And they also know that knowledge, if you give them, people will come. So now they're having affiliation in Dubai, in Sharjah, and Ajman, those states, with most of the credible, authentic universities here in America, affiliation. So if they don't come here to study, they study there, and still they're getting the knowledge that is from here, plus these people getting a share of the money. Because now it's hard to come here, we know all that. What all this? Meaning we need to stop having the negative attitude, killing out pessimism and bringing in optimism. Enough is enough, enough said, of the last 100 years, whatever we have suffered. It's about time that we pull our brain, our intellect, our creativity together, we pull our resources together, sit down and think hard, how can we reorganize, how can we rejuvenate, revive, tajdeeduddin. And that would only come if we have the helm, the forbearance, to forgive and forget, have the helm to understand how much mercy Allah has given us, how much patience Allah is with us, that in spite of all the negative attitudes we've done in terms of implementing Allah's deen, He still hasn't write us up. In fact, somebody was saying this, it was in the article, I forget which article, the Wall Street or Economist, that none of the non-Muslim societies have written off the Muslims. Each one of them is guarding, is watching with a watchful eye, what's next? Because the Muslim youth spend a lot. The Muslim financiers have invested money all over the place. The Muslim intellect is there. You have doctors, engineers, accountants, businessmen. I mean, and not only that, but you have hard-working laborious people working in scorching heat, 49 degrees centigrade in the Middle East, and they're working out there in the streets. So we have everything. It's just that we need one person, or we need someone to come and magnetize all this. And that's where people say, that's fair, well, let's wait for Mahdi, he's going to come and do that. No, Allah is not just going to send Mahdi and then have a magical wand or something that He's going to touch everybody's shoulder and say, come, you are in my army or whatever, so to speak, and then we're going to do something. No, we have to initiate. It has to be a grassroots level. I sit down with my wife, with my kids, and sit down and say, how can I change my family first? You go to any Islamic Jama'ah, you go to any religious party, they'll say the same thing. How can I change myself first? Because then people are looking at you. Someone who is not associated with Islamic Jama'ah, Islamic party, they look at others who are associated with Islamic party, say, hey, this person goes to such and such party or is affiliated with such and such organization. How come their attitude is like this? How come their mannerism is like that? And then people say, oh, it's good, I didn't join. So that means there's a heavy burden on the shoulders of those people who are affiliated or attached with some Islamic party to show the way for others, so that those who are out there in the realm can come in. Regarding this issue that Allah has not wiped us off, Allah has not punished us, in spite that we have done the disobedience of Allah, and Allah sends us signs through earthquakes, things like that. There's an ayah in the Quran which is very mind-boggling ayah. Something to think about. Creativity comes from this ayah. Something to do tafakkur and tadabbur. A very eye-opening. Allah SWT tells in Surah Fatir, Surah 35, verse 45, وَلَوْ يُعَقِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِعَبَادِهِ بَصِيرًا. What a beautiful ayah. This ayah is related to the name of Allah's mother, Al-Hilm. Allah is showing His patience, His forbearance, His magnitude of how much He absorbs the disobedience of people, of insan on earth. Allah says in this ayah, وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسِ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. If Allah were to take account, آخِذ, وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. If Allah were to take accountability of insan of people, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ دَابَّةً, He will not leave a single dabba. Dabba in Arabic means creation, creature, any living creature. And in it includes us too, insan. So Allah is saying, oh insan, what are you talking about yourself? I would not even leave a single animal, a tree, or any living creation on earth if I, as Allah, were to come to strict judgment accountability. وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. But Allah says, I delay it. I make it ta'jeel. يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ تَأْخِيرُ. I make it delayed. إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. To a fixed abortion time. Meaning Allah doesn't want to account us. If Allah came to do accountability, we will not live on this earth a single sas, a single breath. So that means every day we wake up, every day we go to bed, and look, if we just take our own hisab, this is where Umar ibn Khattab said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا. Do accountability of yourself before you are accounted for. How can you be accounted for? Some accountant is going to come to your house and say, okay, it's time for Uncle Sam, here's the accountability. No. Is some angel going to come to your bedside and say, this is your accountability? No. What he meant, Umar ibn Khattab, is that every night that you go to bed, if you don't wake up the next morning, you're being accounted for. Because now, as soon as you go to the grave, accountability starts. And that's why it is known as the Qiyamah Sughra. Our graves are known as Qiyamah Sughra. Accountability starts. So that is why he said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. What did he mean? Umar ibn Khattab meant that before you go to bed, just take 5 seconds even. Forget 5 minutes or a minute even. Take 5 seconds. Oh Allah, what did I do to them? How many good? How many bad? And the moment you see bad, there's a gasp. Automatically you say, oh my God, I did this to them. Astaghfirullah. Now automatically Allah will give you the tawfiq of istighfar. Tawbah wa istighfar. You will say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhammin wa tubu ilayk. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhammin wa tubu ilayk. Say this 3 times. And then you go to bed, you'll see you have such a nice sweet sleep that you won't even need Valium or those Prozac or Xanax. Stop spending those $60 pills. This is $100 million dua that you just say once and you go to bed, because this is the knowledge of Hukama, the Hakim of our Ummah. Hukama said, if you want a nice peaceful sleep, make tawbah istighfar every night before you go to bed. You will see the moment you put your head on the pillow, you won't even need a fluffy pillow. Any hard rock, you will sleep. Neem aisi aayegi badi sunari neend aayegi. Kyunki aapke nafs ne rujoo kar liya apne Rab se, apne ilah se. Because your nafs has done rujoo ila Allah. And that is what this ayah is saying. Allah is saying that if He comes to accountability, that holds every single thing you did every day, you won't wake up the next morning. And we take it for granted. We wake up the next morning, our mom, dad come wake us up, it's time for school, time for go to job or something. We wake up ourselves with the alarm that okay, or we wake up for Fajr and we woke up, and sometimes we forget to say the dua for waking up. We take our life for granted. And Allah is saying, stop taking your life for granted. Pay attention to what is happening in your daily routine. If you just take this routine of the night time and the morning time is enough to open our eyes. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. كَسَبُوا meaning, كَسَب means whatever you earned, whatever you did or said or hinted or behaved or interacted the way to someone. كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ. Allah would not leave. تَرَكَ means to leave. مَا تَرَكَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهَ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. Allah would not leave on the face of this earth any creation, everything will be finished because of their negativity. But this is the hilm of Allah that He yuakhirum ila ajl musamma. He delays it. He lets it go by. He forgives and forgets. He ignores it. He makes it as if he never saw. He never took accountability. This is the hilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِعْبَادِهِ بَصِيرًا. And when the ajal of insan comes, then certainly Allah is well aware and all-seeing of the ibad. In another ayah very similar to that, in Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 61, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَوْ يَعَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ. We do a lot of dhulm. Just imagine, the night you're going to bed, 5 seconds you think, oh Allah, did I do any dhulm today? And this is human nature, this is your fitrah, human instinct. That the moment you ask your soul, your nafs, oh Allah, did I do any dhulm? You see that you said something to your wife or husband, and you say, oh my God, I did dhulm. Well, what's going to happen? If they're awake, you can say sorry. If they're not, you wake up the next morning, say sorry. Or like one of the Salaf al-Salih used to do, the past predecessors, that if the moment they remember at bedtime that they did dhulm to someone which is their close relative or someone living in the house, they'll go, if they're sleeping even, they'll go to their bedside and make tawbah istighfar there, that please forgive me, I don't want to disturb your sleep, but let Allah be witness. One of the 99 names of Allah is Ash-Shaheed, Allah is witness. Let Allah be my witness that I came to your bedside and made sorry to you, even if I don't wake up the next morning. This is the beauty of understanding the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your life drastically changes. Comes onto the train track. It's as if going in one direction, coming back. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. That if Allah were to pick on us, really pick on us, on our dhulm that we do to each other on a daily basis, like the son or daughter remembering what they did wrong to parents, or the parents even, vice versa. If the parent felt that today they were very harsh on their son and daughter, they really didn't have to pick on them that much, they really didn't want had to give them that strict attitude, they can also remember through this ayah that, oh, tomorrow I'll make it up, tomorrow I'll do something for my son or daughter. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِظُلْمِهِمْ مَا تَرَكَ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah were to pick on people for the dhulm they do to each other, He would not leave on earth a single creation alive, meaning they'll be gone, picked by Allah. وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. But Allah delays it, lets it go by, and makes it delayed, not procrastinated, but delayed in the sense that letting it leeway, giving leverage and flexibility to us so that maybe we may come to our senses and then be able to reconcile for that wrong that we have done. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Allah says that if the ajal, if the time, appointed time, meaning the death of that person comes, لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً. When death is ready for you, you don't even have a single hour, sa'ah. Let alone a single minute or a second. You can't say, oh, Malik al-Maut, angel, give me one minute, just give me 1 minute, so I can say sorry to the people that are just living in my house. Forget the wrongdoing I did to people outside. Just those who are in my house, let me give me 1 minute. But the Malik al-Maut say, no, I have lost time. The only time Malik al-Maut gives time is for Anbiya. As you know that all the Anbiya and Rusul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were given the privilege that the angel of death will come and say, are you ready? Because Allah has sent me, but I cannot take your soul unless you give permission. This is a privilege that Allah gave only to His prophets, Anbiya. Amma for us, لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةٌ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. Nor can it be delayed, nor can it be waited for an hour. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, feel the angel of death, Malak al-Maut, in your daily lives, in everyday activities that happens. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to reconcile. So much for this name, and then with this name is attached the next three names, Al-Afur, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar. Al-Afu, the pardoner, from Af, meaning pardoning, forgiving, and that's why they're very close and related to each other. Al-Ghafuru, the all-forgiving, and Al-Ghaffaru, the most forgiving. Can somebody bring me a glass of water? So, Al-Afu, the pardoner, pardons our mistakes, pardons our shortcomings. Never, because this is related to the previous ayah that I just read in Surah Fatir and Surah Nahl. That Allah is saying, if I were to pick on you, if I were to do accountability of you on a daily basis, you would not live alive for a single second on earth. But يؤخرهم, he delays it, he gives you time, gives you leverage. And this is why, because he is the pardoner. Al-Afu. How is Allah pardoner? Subhanallah. Many times in a daily life, in a daily basis, we do so many things. So many things that are wrong, faults, shortcomings, mistakes, errors. And sometimes we get tawfiq from Allah to make tawbah. But many times we have no tawfiq. We don't even say astaghfirullah, atubu ilallah, or something like that. We don't even say sorry to others whom we may have wronged unintentionally, unknowingly. But yet, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-afu, He pardons us. He forgets about us. Because if He were to hold it, He would give us, He might twist our hand. You're just washing, making wudu, and you slip. You have a broken bone, a twisted bone, or a torn muscle, or something. Why? Because Allah is reminding you. Many times it happens like that, and many times it doesn't. Our life is healthy, we wake up every day, we go about our chores and everything, but in the day we may have done something wrong. So Allah is pardoner. You have to distinguish between the name At-Tawwab and Ghaffar and Ghafoor from Afu. See, Ghaffar and Ghafoor and Tawwab is where you are intentionally seeking forgiveness. Ya Allah, mujhe maaf kar de. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I am negligent. Oh Allah, I'm sorry. You see it. But there are many times you don't say it. You don't say, I'm sorry, oh Allah. You don't say to somebody that, oh, I'm sorry. You forgot. But look at the Rahmani of Allah. Look at the Rahma of Allah. He still pardons you. Go about it. No problem. You did something wrong. I am the Afu. Al-Afu. I am the pardoner. I pardon you. Because of Allah. See, subhanAllah, look, in this life, in insan, we do so many wrong things to each other. People hold grudges. You talk to someone in a negative way, now he or she will hold a grudge until you come and say sorry to them. Meaning what? They don't pardon you unless you come and pardon. This is what I'm trying to show you. That Allah is different from His creation. He is the creator. Creation needs someone to come up to them and say, I am sorry, brother, pardon me, excuse me. But the creator doesn't need it from us. He still pardons you. He still lets you go by. Even if you said it or you didn't say it. This name of Allah subhanAllah, you have to understand this in its context. Al-Afu, the pardoner. Meaning He pardons you on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute basis, minute by minute. But look at insan, how restricted insan is. Insan will not pardon. Unless that person is very haleem, very sabir. Some people are very, very patient. They have so much gratitude to the creation of Allah. They say, oh, go by me, dar guzar ko. Go by me, usne agar aisa kar. No problem. Forgive and forget. No problem if they did this way. No problem if they talk to me with that facial expression, you know, with frowning or bal are. No problem. But for that, you have to have a big heart. And very few of the Bani Adam have such a big heart to pardon people regardless of them asking or seeking pardon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He pardons people on a daily basis. You want to see the proof of His pardoning? You are alive and you're sitting here. Because what ayah did I just read? He said in the Quran, in Surah Fazil, Surah Nahl, if Allah were to catch you for every single thing, He would not leave you alive on earth. So you are a proof of your own. You are a proof of Allah's name, Al-Afu. And you are a proof of Allah's name, Al-Haleem. He has so much ilm that you, whether you ask tawbah still for, or you don't. And that is why these names are all very connected to each other and very close. Now we come to the next name. Al-Ghafoor. Okay, all-forgiving. Al-Ghaffar. This from the same root word, like we know in Arabic language, ghafara ghafar. Ghafara means to forgive. Forgiving is different. And pardoning is different. Pardoning, you can pardon someone whether they asked you or not. Right? People do that also, like I said earlier, but very few. But forgiving, already in itself embedded, is the intention that somebody came up to you and said, please, I'm sorry, forgive me. So now you are forgiving them. So you, ghafara anka, you forgive them. That is what Allah is saying also. Allah is saying, I am Al-Afu, and I am also Al-Ghafur, and I am also Al-Ghaffar. I'm the most forgiving, meaning nobody can come forgive more than Allah. You think anybody can forgive more than Allah? Remember that famous incident that in Qiyamah, that there'll be this person who would have only one hasanat, one good, 80 naqibas. And he will say that insan, that this one day will not get me to Jannah. So miracles can't be. So you go ahead and take it. Somebody is short of one, you donate. Donate to them. Over there, donation will also work. But only if you have one. But now, I'm not saying work in this life to only have one deed. So you say, okay, I'll be a donator. Because the incident tells us that when that person will donate, Allah will say, you are more forgiving than me. You are more Rahman and Rahim than me. I am the Ghaffar. I am the most forgiving. Al-Ghaffar, the most forgiving. So now I forgive you, the one who has only one neki, and I also forgive the other one who was short of one good deed. So now both get to Jannah. Now I'm not saying start finding your couple, your mate here in this dunya. Who's going to be that person that is going to meet me? No, but Allah is showing you His ghafraniyah. Allah is most forgiving. And that is why the hadith of Rasulullah is very, very important. He said that whoever soul, human being says that Allah will never forgive you, astaghfirullah wal-iyadu billah, then let them be known that they'll be the first that Allah will not forgive. You know how sometimes people have ranjishin and jealousy and enmity? People have some sort of, inside their heart, they develop some sort of rancor, and they say to other people, oh, Allah will never forgive you, brother or sister, for this what you've done. How do you know? Do you know more than Allah? Are you saying that you delve and indulge into the affairs of Allah? How can somebody, and there are people in this world who will see you, and I've seen many Muslims saying that, doing that to their fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, because they've been so much irritated, the zakham, the injury of the heart is so grieving that this word comes out of their mouth, ki Allah tumhe kabhi nahi maaf kare, or Allah will never forgive you. How dare can somebody say, no matter how big your injury, chahe zakham jitna bhi bada ho aapke dil mein, aapke zaban se aise alfaz nikal kaise kar sakte hain ki aap ke Allah ki rahmaniyat se badh kar jante, ya Allah ki ilm ko zyada jante, ki kaise aap keh sakte hain ki Allah tumhe kabhi maaf nahi karega. Aur Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne ye farmaya ki wo log jaan le jo ye kehte hain kisi ko ki Allah tumhe kabhi nahi maaf karega, Allah unhe sabse pehle maaf nahi karega. Yani pehle wo zakhm aziza the, pehle wo victim the, to Allah unhe maaf kar deta, lekin kyunki unhone ye itna bada mukalma keh diya apni zuban se, ab jo receiving end mein the ab unhi ki puchhar, unhi ki pakad hogi. What I was saying is that those people who say, no matter how big the injury is, those people who say that, oh, Allah will never forgive you, Allah is the first to not forgive them. Allah will say that you were the victim, you were the one who's injured because of the interaction of the other person. I would have forgiven you, but now that you said such a heavy, burdensome word from your tongue that Allah will never forgive you, so now Allah will say, why should I forgive you? And that is why in that hadith, Rasulullah said that if somebody comes up to you for forgiving, be forgiving. Don't hold it back. Because that is one neki, one hasana. That is a sadaqah, a charity. Meaning Allah has given you an opportunity that somebody has come up to your door, come up to you and say, mujhe maaf kar de, please forgive me, brother, sister. And at that time you say, no, now is my time to get even. Now is my time to rub it in. Now is my time to let them feel how I felt when they injured me. And you say, no, I will, you say in your mind, I will forgive this person, but let me procrastinate, let me delay, let me make them feel the pain. Why? Why such rigidity? Why such stiffness of the heart? Rasulullah said that, look, be forgiving. Be very merciful that when someone comes up to you and says, brother, sister, I'm sorry, automatically. In fact, as he said that the more faster you forgive someone, the faster Allah will forgive your sins also. Subhanallah. So why should we delay? Remember that, subhanAllah, that ayah of ifk in Surah Nur, when Allah, when Abu Bakr radiallahu, he withheld the nafaqah, he withheld the money for his relative who he was taking care of, because that was a person who went around in the Medina with a rumor mongering against Aisha radiallahu, the daughter of Abu Bakr. So he became a little bit grieved, so he withheld the money. Unki naf nakhar ho kiya. So Allah Ta'ala in Quran mein ayat utar diya. أَلَا تَحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. But جب نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے یہ آیت پڑھی, ابو بکر بے ساختہ منہ سے نکلا ہوں کے منہ سے, بَلَا يَا رَبْ اغْفِرْ لِي,
بے شک میرے رب میرے عز و جل مجھے معاف کر دے, مجھ سے یہ بھول ہو گئی کہ میں ابوبکر ہونے کے ناطے کیسے میں نے اس کا ناف نفقہ روک لیا, جبکہ اسی نے سب سے زیادہ فتنہ برپا کیا تھا میری بیٹی عائشہ کے ساتھ. لیکن اللہ سبحانہ از ٹیچنگ اس ا لیسن دیٹ اف یو آر فورگیونگ, اف اٹس ان یور نیچر فار فورگیونگ, بٹ وین یو ود ہولڈ دیٹ ایٹیٹیوڈ آف فورگیونگ, اللہ ڈزنٹ لائک اٹ. اینڈ دین ہی ری اسٹارٹڈ اگین دا نفقہ, ہی ری اسٹارٹڈ دا منی گیونگ فار دیٹ nephew of his and a relative who was the most number one in going about the rumor mongering of Aisha and her. If you remember already that the Qissah of Ifk we explained many times in Ramadan, but there in that ayah in Surah Nur, Allah was teaching me and you a lesson that when somebody comes up to you for forgiving, for sorry, for pardoning, hasten, rush to forgive them, because Allah loves to forgive you. But if you delay it, procrastinated because of the intention that, oh, let me make them feel also how I felt, even if it's 1 hour, even if it's a minute, you are losing the pearls of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what Allah's mother is saying, that suppose somebody is famous in the society for forgiving, you say that somebody comes up to you, say, oh, you know what, I did something wrong to that brother or sister. And then the person you're talking to say, oh, you know, that brother, mashallah, he's very forgiving. He's very famous in our community for forgiving. No problem. Just go up to him and say sorry and he'll forgive. Oh, yeah, sure. Because I feel shy and embarrassed. I feel scared. How can I have the guts to go up to them and say I'm sorry? Because I feel very shy. But why? The person is famous already. People know them. People have interacted with that person. They already know that brother or sister is very forgiving. MashaAllah, they're very, very generous when it comes to forgiving people's faults and mistakes. So go up to them. And when you go up to them, you say, you're very scared, you're shivering and shaking, like, I don't know what's going to happen. You say sorry to them, they say, no problem. I forgot it already. I don't remember. What are you asking me forgiveness for? I forgot. What did you do? And you say, SubhanAllah. So now that person is famous in the society, in the community, in the ummah, in the tribe, for very forgiving personality, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am more forgiving than that person. Because what is his name? Al-Ghaffar, the most forgiving. And he's also Ghafoor, the all-forgiving. Why? Because Allah said in the Quran, I forgive everything except shirk. إن الله يغفر ما دون ذلك إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك ويغفر ما دون ذلك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, I forgive everything, big or small, except shirk. Because shirk is one thing that Allah doesn't like. Because what are you doing? In shirk, a person is irritating Allah, is undermining the maqam of Allah. Allah is the wahdaniyah, the one and only. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I am Al-Ghafoor and Ghaffar. Al-Ghaffar and Al-Ghafoor. Al-Ghafoor, why? All forgiving. You come to me with any. Like that famous Hadith Qudsi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said through the Rasulullah, that, yeah, very beautiful. The wording of that Hadith also, very beautiful. Ya Bani Adam. Ya Ibn Adam. Ya Ibn Adam, لو جئت بي, that, oh Ibn Adam, oh son of Adam, if you came to me, meaning Allah, with sins as high as the highest mountain on earth, and if you only said, Allahumma ighfirni, oh Allah forgive me, la ghafartu laka ya bani Adam, subhanallah, takbir, Allah. This is Hadith Qudsi, and you know Hadith Qudsi means that Rasulullah said the words, but the meaning is from Allah. It's different from the Quran. Quran is the words of Allah. But Hadith Qudsi, Allah Himself through Rasulullah is saying that, oh bani Adam, if you came like Kana'an al-Sama, the highest mountain, what? The mountain, not the mountain of this world, this earth, highest mountain that reaches all the way up to the sky. Sky is the limit. Meaning if you have sins as high as that, and you only said, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Parvardigar, Ya Khuda, Maafkar, La Ghafartu Lak. Allah is going to forgive without if and buts and any question. No questioning. You come in this dunya to someone forgive, they'll start questioning, okay, I can forgive this much, or you have to do this, or something like that. Allah is saying, unconditional forgiving. This is the meaning of Al-Ghafoor, the all-forgiving, all-encompassing. Now again, scholars say, it does not mean that by this Hadith Qudsi, we have a relaxed attitude, a laid-back attitude. Hey, I can do anything I want. I can go kill people, do zina, do stealing, murder. Because I'll just come back and say, oh Allah, I am forgiving. You said in the Hadith Qudsi, I'll forgive. No, intention-based. Intention-based. That's very important. If your intention before doing the guna, before doing the sin was, oh, I've heard that Hadith. And you know, people become mufti just by reading one Hadith. Say, oh, I've read that Hadith. And I know that Allah is going to forgive me. So let me go ahead and do this sin. No. Then Allah will not forgive you. But if you did it unknowingly and intentionally and mistakenly you did it, and now you're feeling burdened, heavy. Though, how can I face Allah? How will I ask forgiveness? Allah is saying through the hadith, don't worry. If you have sins as big, as high as the mountain that reaches the sky, you just ask for forgiveness and make it tawbah nasuha, sincere repentance. That, oh Allah, I will never return to that bad life. I will never return to that wrong thing. Look what Rasulullah said about Bani Israel. There was a person, you must have heard this in many khutbah or waz or bayan, that there was a person, Bani Israel, who killed 99 people. SubhanAllah, 99. And he came up to a person, a knowledgeable person, he said, is there any forgiveness for me? You know, he told him, look, I've killed 99 people. And, you know, he came up to this person, he said, is there any forgiveness for me? Is there any outlet, any outlet for me, any way out? So no, that's it, you're doomed, you're merciless, that's it, you have killed 99 people, 99 murders, blood, you can't be forgiven. Guess what he did? He finished his century. So let me have a Guinness Book of World Record, I killed 100 people. And this is Rasulullah telling us in Bukhari, in Muslim Sharif, in Hadith, that he kammala al-mi'a, he finished his, completed his 100. Then he went to a monk and a priest. I'm sorry if I messed it up. He first went to the monk and priest, and the priest told him that no, you can't do it. Now when he finished that, finishing the priest 100, he went to a knowledgeable person, zi'ilmin, one who possesses ilm. And he asked him, is there any outlet for me? Is there any opening? Halli faraj. Faraj in Arabic means opening. Is there an opening for me from this 100 murders that I've done? That knowledgeable person said, yes, go to such and such wadi or valley or place or city, where people learn and teach and learn knowledge of Allah, ilm of Allah. Go there and perhaps you might find some opening. He didn't say that yes, you'll be forgiven. But he at least gave them a hope, a sparkle of hope. So now this person set out on a journey, Musafir. Musafir for what? What is the title of this person? Talibul ilm. He is a seeker of knowledge. Where is he going? He is going to such and such city where people are having ilm. Learning and teaching ilm. So he's setting out for that. On the way, as Rasulullah told us in the hadith, sit down here. Sit down. No move. As Rasulullah told us in the hadith, that on his way, as he's going, death happened to him. Allah took his soul. Now the angel of death descended, took the soul. The angel of Jannah and the angel of Jahannam are now arguing that this person is Jahannami, this person is Jannati. And they begin. So Allah sends a third angel to resolve their issue. And the third angel went and said, look, why don't you measure the distance from where he set out to where he is going to, the city, the place. Measure the distance. The distance that is more, meaning if it's more to go to the place, then yes, the Jahannam angel will take it. And if the distance is less, he's almost near there, then the angel of Jannah will take it. This was the given. So they began measuring. And as one of the riwayat of the hadith says, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his ghafoor, his ghufraniyah, his rahmaniyah, Allah expanded the earth. Look at the rahmat. Allah already told his angels, go ahead, do by this criteria. But he is the master. He is the master of those angels and that soul. Without the angels knowing, he is expanding the earth. So that when they measure, they find more distance from his place where he set out, and less, and they find less distance to where he was going, so that the decree would be, okay, let him be forgiven, go to Jannah. Person who killed 100 people. This is Allah, the Ghafoor, the Ghaffar, the most forgiving, all forgiving, meaning Allah is saying, all you have to do is just one thing, intention. Initiate in your soul, in your heart, initiate in yourself, imbibe in yourself, encourage in yourself, bring a catalyst in your heart, in your soul. Of what? Catalyst of what? That, oh Allah, I want to be on a track of forgiveness. And Wallah al-Azim, I'm saying in the Muslim, Allah will forgive and accept you in His Rahmaniyah, just like He is doing for this person. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, none of us here is someone who killed 99 people. Or even killed one person, alhamdulillah. Unless you are, then see me after the class. But if Allah can forgive this person who's killed 100 people, where do me and you stand? Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because in this society today, there's a prevalent culture, especially amongst the youth, that I'm so bad, man, I'm so bad, I'm so negative, I can't do anything, or I'm so far away from Allah, or look, Shaitan has mesmerized me, has made me oblivious, I'm so far away from Allah, I feel the distance, the gulf between me and my Allah. So this is all waswas of Shaitan talking into you. What? What's the number one goal of Shaitan from the youth? Because youth are young, they still have some life in them, compared to someone who's old, senior citizen. Shaitan wants you to be derailed from the path of Allah. Shaitan wants you to be distanced, the maximum distance away from Allah. So Shaitan is the one that is bubbling up your mind with these phrases and things, whispers, waswasa. Oh, you are so bad, you're so negative, look, you haven't done anything good, you haven't been praying, you haven't been close to Allah. It's trying to drive you away. This is prevalent in over Muslim youth culture, whether it's America, whether it's Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, anywhere you go. And you have to understand these three names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Afu, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar, the pardoner, the all-forgiving, the most forgiving. That Allah is talking to me and you, the youth, that come to Allah. You don't even have to take a step to Allah. All you have to do is change your intention inside your heart and mind and soul. All you say is, oh Allah, I want to correct myself. Oh Allah, deep down in my heart, I have this goodness in my soul. I know I'm bad, oh Allah, but you are the only one that I can talk to, you, oh Allah. I can't talk to my parents, I can't talk to my grandparents, I can't talk to my children, I can't talk to anyone except you, Allah. Just like in Surah Yusuf, what did Yusuf alayhi salam say? He said, Wama, I forget that ayah. Where the English translation is, where he said that, I don't give my grievance, I don't share my grievance or complaining to anyone except Allah. Except Allah. Not even to his father, who was a prophet, Yaqub al-Islam. So Yusuf al-Islam is teaching me and you a big lesson. That share your mind, talk to Allah. You don't need anything to talk to Allah. You don't even have to sit on the musalla. You could be in your car, you could be in your bed, you could be in your chair, in the cubicle. You could, all you need is some silence and some devotion and sincerity wherever you are. Whether on a bus, on a train, in the car, stuck in a traffic jam. Just need concentration, Allah, and Allah hears you. We'll cover that name also, that As-Sami'. And Allah hears you, and Allah sees your intention, and knows what is going on in your heart. What revolution is taking place in your heart? And Allah is Ghafur and Ghafar and Afu, when He says, you know, this soul has good in it, and it wants to change, but it is stuck up, entangled like a spider's web in the fitna of dunya. Now who is going to come and help you to untangle your spider's web, the strings that are attaching your soul? Who's going to come? No one except Allah. That is why if we change our intention, especially the youth that I'm talking to, because I was a youth once, and I used to feel the same way. Well, I'm so far away from Allah. What good is it? What is left? I'm going to be so bad. But there was a mentor, a murabbi, there was a teacher who held my hand, who held my finger and said, look, just like your parents held your finger and taught you to take steps when you were young, a toddler, in the same way, all you gotta do is just rujoo, hold tight to the rope of Allah, and Allah will gradually change your life. What you see today is nothing from me, it's all from Allah. Allah made the turn of events in my life that happened in such a way at every step, that today I am there where I am. And yes, with the dua of the mother. Because maa ki dua, jannat ki hawa. That is one slogan. But yes, I'm not saying that the fathers have no dua. Yes, the fathers have dua. But Allah has given more. Here, Allah has given an edge to the mother. And I ask all the mothers sitting there, that never despair, lose hope from Allah's rahmah and mercy and ghufran. Many mothers say, Aji, I've written off my son, my daughter. That's it, it's gone, it's a gone case, it's useless. No use talking about it. No, this is kufr from the tongue. This is haram for a mother to say that I've written off my son and daughter, my child. Never write off. Rather, always keep making dua. Keep making dua at every single second, and you will see one day, inshallah, Allah will accept your dua. And you will see your own son and daughter change so drastically that even you are stunned, stunned. What happened? What happened overnight? And then you are so shocked and stunned, you don't remember. You were the one, you the mother, were the one who made dua for your son and daughter. But at that time, you were so exuberant, so happy because of the change of your son and daughter, that you have forgotten all the nights of dua that you make. So that's why my request, my humble request to all the mothers and fathers also, that if you find something in your children, always never give up the dua. Look at the dua of Sayyidina Yaqub al-Islam for his sons. And how much bad they were that they made their son, his other son, you know, Yusuf al-Islam in the well and this and that. Still, what did Yaqub al-Islam do? Forgiveness. They came up to him crying, that, oh Allah, oh our father, Yaqub al-Islam, forgive us. We were liars. We were the one who made your son go away. We were the one who gave you the wrong shirt with the ink as if showing blood. This is what the father and the mother are. And that is what Allah SWT is saying in these three names. The next name is also connected with it, At-Tawwab, the oft repenting, most repenting. So you have to understand the difference between forgiving and repenting. Where do we get this initiation of Tawbah? Where do we get this tawfiq, encouragement, or like they say in English language, intuition? Where do you get this intuition in your nafs? Oh, I need to make Tawbah to Allah. It's Allah. Allah is the Tawwab al-Rahim. Allah is the one who gives people tawfiq for Tawbah. And like I said before, Tawbah means turning. Like when somebody sins or errs or mistakes, when somebody does a wrongdoing, it's as if they have put themselves away from the path of Allah. They have turned their face away from Allah. It's like, I mean, not to compare the example with Allah, but like in our day-to-day examples, like if your son and daughter does something bad, you as a father, mother, what do you do? I'll move in with them. Can I make them clean about it? I'll move in with them. What? You as a father, mother, why do you turn your face away? Why do you say, oh, I'm not going to talk to you. I don't want to see you. Because at that spur of the moment, the father is irritated, grieved. And that's why. They're not doing it deliberately. It's just that the grief is so heavy, they just turn their face. I don't want to see. But when the son goes, Mama, Baba, please, sorry, I'm very sorry. Look, within seconds you can change the heart of your mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more 70 times more than a mother's forgiving and mercy. I mean, Amma ji, please, Amma ji. You press the legs, you press the hands, you press the head. You say, oh, mommy, please, I'm sorry. But don't press the neck. That was what I was saying. In case you didn't understand Urdu. Why? Because if you press the neck, there's no forgiveness. She'll be gone. So don't let her go away. Have her alive and then ask forgiveness. And it takes seconds to change the heart of your mother. Allah's mother is saying, I am 70 times more than the mercy of that mother's heart. So how easy it is to change Allah with us, a relationship. That all we need to say, Allah, I'm sorry. Making istighfar. That's why the scholars say that every morning and every evening, after Salatul Fajr, after Salatul Asr, you should be making 100 times istighfar. Like how? Astaghfirullah, on your finger, on tasbih, or counter, anything. Astaghfirullah. 100 times. You know how many times Rasulullah used to make istighfar? Tawbah? He said in the hadith, وَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةٍ or 100 times. More than 70 or 100 times more than that, I, as Rasulullah ﷺ, make tawbah istighfar to Allah. Who is saying this? The bringer of message of Quran. Who is teaching us this? The one whose sins, who had no sins, who was ma'soom, innocent. He is saying that I make tawbah to Allah, the tawwab, 100 times a day. Where do me and you stand, brothers and sisters? How many times do we make tawbah? And this saying 100 times istighfar is counted as one tawbah, by the way. Some that, oh, I said 100 in the morning, 100 in the evening, that's 200 times. I did more than Rasulullah. No. It's only counted as once. Because he said, for 100 instances, meaning 100 instances, One instance in the morning, one in the late morning, one in the afternoon, one in the late afternoon, one in the early evening, one in the late evening, one in the night. This is what he is. Meaning sitting down 100 times and saying Astaghfirullah. In each time. Or Tawbah to Allah. This is what Rasulullah used to do. Why? Because he's teaching, he's leaving behind a legacy that all Muslimin, all believers have an attitude, have a human nature kind of principle. Make it second to nature, or make it your human nature that every day and night you make tawbah to Allah. That is why Allah says He is Anat-Tawwabur Rahim. Because He is the one who accepts the tawbah. Because if Allah wants, He can reject the tawbah. If Allah wants, but He doesn't. This is why Allah is saying that He is the one, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلَ التَّوْبَةِ, as the ayah in the Quran is, that Allah is the one who accepts the tawbah. Yes, this is the one. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. This is in Surah Tawbah. Again, Surah Tawbah. Surah 9. Verse number 104. In verse number 104 in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Alam ya'lamu, that don't you know, O insan, O human being, don't you know, Alam ya'lamu, anna Allah, that Allah is the one who yaqbal al-tawbah, He accepts our tawbah. For if Allah wanted, He could have rejected it and not accepted. But it is from His rahmaniyya and rahmah that He accepts the tawbah. An ibadihi, on His slaves, wa ya'khudha sadaqat. And He also takes the Sadaqah. Now what is the catch 22 here? Because when you make tawbah, brothers and sisters, yeah, it's fine, it's good to say from the tongue, Atubu Allah, Astaghfirullah, Ya Allah, mujhe maaf kar de, Ya Allah, main tawbah karta hoon, karti hoon. It's good to say from the tongue. But follow it up with something physical. What you did was oral, verbal, right? In this dunya also, if somebody says something, so give me a sorry in writing. Yes, I know you said sorry to me orally, verbally, but give it to me in writing, so I know that yes, you did say sorry to me. Proof. You know what is the proof of our tawbah? Sadaqat, charity, sadaqah. And that is why in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought two of the things together in the same ayah. He said, He accepts the tawbah, Allah accepts the tawbah, and He accepts the sadaqat. In al-hasanat yuzhibna sayyi'at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran also that verily the hasanat, over here the scholars say hasanat means sadaqat, charity, sadaqah. The sadaqat yuzhibna sayyi'at, the charity that you do and give in the way of Allah, it wipes away the bad deeds. Yuzhib, zahab, zahab means to go, erase, wipe away. Meaning it's good, you make tawbah to Allah, but now follow it up by giving a dollar, giving a cent, a penny, or a quarter. You don't have to give so much. If you want to give, yeah, that's good. And that is why I keep saying that we should have a habit of giving charity on a regular basis. Because we have this perception in our mind that when something bad happens, oh, you sadaqa karo, sadaqa karo, jaan bach gayi. Oh, you had a car accident, deer hit your car, okay, give sadaqa. Hey, you know why I'm alive? Because I gave sadaqa before the deer hit my car. Because if I would not have given, I would not be alive. Maybe Allah would have taken. Or maybe I'll be sitting in hospital. It is from the rahmah of Allah that those sadaqat. Now I'm not trying to boast over here that we give so many sadaqat. But I'm trying to show that get into the groove. Get into the habit of giving sadaqah on a regular basis. And you'll see that you'll be in near-death accidents. But you don't even have one single skin or bruise or anything. And the other thing is that when you give sadaqah all the time, this in turn gives you tawfiq from Allah to ask tawbah all the time. So it's like a never-ending cycle. It's like recycling. You know, you make tawbah, you give sadaqah. You give sadaqah, Allah gives you more tawfiq for tawbah. You make tawbah, you give sadaqah. So it's like going in a churn cycle. What a beautiful formula. You want a formula for success? It's not E is equal to MC squared. It's not F is equal to MA. It is tawbah is equal to sadaqah. Or sadaqah is equal to tawbah. Now we're talking to the youth in terms of what is directly proportional, and this is something that is directly proportional. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us He accepts the tawbah to cleanse away your slate, your book, your kitab. Cleanse it away. Whitewash it. You know, like you do whitewashing, oh, the paint in my house has gone, oh, it's been 10 years, let me go to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever the biggest sale is, buy some buckets of this whitewash and let me whitewash it. Why do you do it on your house, on your walls? Make it look good. The whitewashing of our soul, our nafs, tawbah and sadaqah. Tawbah and sadaqah. One of the hakim of this ummah from the past, he used to say to his students, very nice formula. He said, make sure that every morning, let not any day of yours go by without sadaqah, without charity. So what should you do? Every morning that you wake up, just take the single unit currency where you live, just take one and give it out. If it's one dinar, one dirham, one rupee, one pound, one euro, or one dollar. Just take it out and put it somewhere, in a box somewhere in your house. And that box should be such that your kids don't see it, your wife doesn't see it, you don't see it either. And then, when it gets filled up, it's okay, now I can give this to any masjid, any orphanage, yateem khana, any hospital or something. Because shaitan comes with waswasa. You want to give today sadaqah? Say, oh, no, wait. Next time when I go to the masjid, if somebody is doing fundraising, I'll give it. You want to give sadaqah? Say, oh, no, wait. When I go to Pakistan, you know, it's much better. $1 to 60 rupees. So when I go to Pakistan, I'll make enough sadaqah over there. So shaitan is making you delay, procrastinate. And this hakim was saying, you don't know if you're going to be alive the next morning. So wake up every day, because that money that you put there, when you die, your loved ones will come across that box. Hey, there's a lot of money. But this is not their money. This is not from the wirasa. They cannot inherit this money. But they can inherit in the sadaqah that you left behind. Your wife, your kids get ajr from Allah. Why? Because the father, the husband had this habit, this system in his life that every day he would give $1. You know, $1 a day keeps the shaitan away. Not Dr. Sahib, because Dr. Sahib needs more than $1. With all due respect to doctors, inshallah, they have to also, it's their right. But shaitan has no right to earn anything. And I'm telling you, this phrase is not just to laugh about, it is from the hadith from Sunnah Rasulullah. He said, every day that you give sadaqah, that you give charity, Allah protects your soul from the waswas of shaitan. Because shaitan doesn't love sadaqah. So now here, I give you a formula. How to find immunity from shaitan. Give sadaqah every day. And regardless of your age, don't say, oh, I'm just a teenager. I don't have money. Well, if I'm a teenager, I got $100 cell phone. So, when it comes to sadaqah, I'm a teenager. But when it comes to cell phone, hey, I have my right. Dad, mom, you gotta give me that right. It's family talk plan. So get away from this whisper of shaitan that if you're young, if you're 10, if you're 12, if you're a teenager, I can't give sadaqah, I don't earn, I don't work. No, whatever pocket money you got, give sadaqah on that. And you'll see the next month, mom, dad will give you more pocket money. You don't even have to ask them, because Allah will make it in their heart. So now all the youth know how to get more pocket money. Sadaqah automatically has so many repercussions, especially the youth. Because when you get trained, and this I must say to the parents, as a father, mother, train your child, train your son and daughter at a very early age, even when they're toddler, when they're 2 years old, 1 year old, give them $1. When you're at the masjid or some place at center and they're doing fundraising, yes, you can go give it by your hand, but how good it would be if your 2 year old son and daughter went with that check and said, you know, Mr. Fundraiser, Imam Sahib, this is from our friend. Because now the young mind will be nurtured, will be grooved in the giving attitude. So that when that 2-year-old becomes a 20-year-old, it's been 18 years that they've been in the habit of giving. So they'll be having a very generous heart. Whereas we go the opposite. We say that when you're 20, 22 and you're earning, then, yeah, encourage yourself to give sadaqah, give charity. So with this we finish at least for today. Next Friday we'll pick up from the other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is Al-Hafiz, Al-Shaheed, Al-Raqib, and Al-Latif. Today we covered, we finished off Hilm, which we did in Ramadan, and we finished off Al-Afu, Al-Hilm, Al-Afu, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Tawwab. 5 names. Jazakallahu khairan wa afadu wa hamdulillah.